Hello? Hey. See, I don't need a microphone.
Gosh.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Mark, he fixes things. Technologically dysfunctional pastor. I wonder if there's a support group for that I can get to or something, right? So you all, are you all feeling this vibe? Somewhere we got to come to the point that repentance has got to be that godly thing that we do, and we got to quit fearing it. And a lot of us have made repentance this dramatic ordeal. You know, that you got to come up in front of the church and confess all your sins. Let me tell you what, repentance is between you and Jesus. And that's where it gets really good. That's where it gets really squared up. I think accountability groups are nice because they help you keep pointed to Jesus. But I'm going to tell you right now, nobody but you will keep you in the flow of the Holy Spirit. Nobody but you will keep you in the flow of the Holy Spirit. So you got to make a conscious decision to say, you know what? I want Jesus to be everything He wants to be in my life. How many of y'all have come that far along? I want Jesus to be everything He wants to be in my life. How many of y'all begin to make that confession? I'll go wherever Jesus wants me to go. I'll be who He's made me to be. I'll live the way that He's created me to live. I will share in the possibilities of heaven. Now let me ask you a question. Would that adjust how you live through the day? Yeah. If those were really your attitudes. Today I'm going to approach this day like Jesus wants me to live. Man, that changes things. Well, we're going to go to Luke chapter 19 because I think it's pivotal when we look at the encounter of Zacchaeus to understand repentance. Okay, let's talk about what repentance is not. Repentance is not saying, I am sorry. How many of y'all do that other? I'm sorry. And I'm sorry really doesn't have any teeth anymore. I'm sorry I got caught is what we mean most of the time. I'm sorry you found me out. Officer, you ever heard anybody say they're sorry? That doesn't discontinue what the law requires you to do, does it? You know, sometimes our great law enforcement agents, they pull your pastor over for breaching the barriers of Romans 13, which is to follow the laws. And I have a tendency to go a tad bit over the speed limit. And sometimes I have beautiful people, like usually wearing a nice uniform, that pull me over and remind me of the speed limit. And they have a nice little tab that goes with their reminder. And you know what? Watch this. I am a little bit different than when you guys pull me over. I have never said I wasn't speeding. I always say this, you got me. But I do ask this, how fast was I going? Because sometimes it's been faster on my speedometer than they've called me on. I call that grace. See what I'm saying? But man, I had to own up to it. I had to own up to it and say, guess what? I have not done what I was supposed to do. Amen. Now Zacchaeus came to the realization that his life was not headed where he wanted it to go. This is when repentance starts. How many of y'all just sometimes, in recovery language, we use this. We finally get sick and tired of being sick and tired. Amen. Huh? Well, you know what? I get sick and tired of just being sick and tired over more things than just what we consider the biggies. Watch this. What if you started this? I am sick and tired of being jealous. How would that change your life, ladies? It would cut a lot of y'all's conversation. You wouldn't have anything to talk about. Men. I'm sick and tired of envying what everybody else has got. How would that change your life? I'm sick and tired of being angry every time something doesn't go my way. What would that do to your life? Wow. These are things of repentance that begin to really grow us and change us to square up where we really are. Now guess what? First thing Zacchaeus did, he was pretty honest about himself. The scripture tells us that Jesus was coming through town. When I find my scripture, where did it go? Pastor Beth Ann, is it new? Hey, thank you, man. Hand off. Boom, all right. This is Wednesday night Bible football. Here we go. Luke chapter 19. This is more exciting than football. God will change our lives. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. Let me remind you, most ministry is done in the passing through motion, not in the sitting position. If you notice, Jesus passed through a lot. How many of y'all are glad to know that Jesus is willing to pass through your existence? But Jesus is going on. Do you notice that's a motion in the New Testament? He's passing through. Spirit goes. The Bible tells us the Spirit's like the wind. You don't know where it came from and you don't know where it's going, but you feel its effects. Man, that's Jesus. He starts passing through. Now, apparently Jesus already had a reputation. How many of y'all got a reputation? Let me help you all. All of you do. How many of y'all got a reputation? Yeah. Everybody's got a rep, man. Everybody's got a rap sheet. Not a bad one. Everybody puts out some kind of vibe of what they're about. How many of y'all have been about Jesus today? Watch. Let me help y'all with this. Y'all get all shy. You probably think you got to go carry a big sign that says, I love Jesus around town. That's not it. Jesus didn't do that. Now, here's what's amazing to me is Jesus never acted like church people. And they say they follow him. He never acted like them. It blows me away. Not one time in the scripture did Jesus sign a petition. Same problems were going on in Rome that are going on in America today. Abortion, homosexuality, all that stuff was right there in Rome. Jesus never signed a petition one time. Zacchaeus is a business shark. How many of y'all have ever been bitten by a business shark? If you've been in business, you've bumped into a shark because there's no way to avoid them in the business climate. What are business people about doing? Let me help you. Making money. If you're working for a corporation and they're telling you how wonderful you are, there's only one reason they're telling you that. You can help them make money. They do not like you. Watch this. As soon as you don't make money, you will not be wonderful anymore. Any of y'all have that experience? See, they have a bottom line. I'm going to go get profit. But Jesus is coming in and he says, I want to give us life. Apparently, Jesus put off a vibe to life. Now, note this. Repentance connects us in salvation. It allows us to continue to grow in the Lord, and it eventually helps us realize our holiness in Jesus. Zacchaeus knows he doesn't have what Jesus has. How many of you all live lives in such a way that people realize they don't have what you have? What do you think? You just don't have what you have. Listen, if you're in Jesus Christ, you got love, you got joy, you got peace, you got patience, you got kindness, you got faithfulness, you got gentleness, you got goodness, you got self-control. Those are fruits of the Holy Spirit. You can't be saved and not get those options. Now, some of you are saying, well, I hadn't seen them in my life lately. No, you haven't used what you have. Here's really the big difference between Jesus and us. He always used what he had. Jesus always let the Spirit get out in front of his moment. I don't know about you, but I don't always do that. Sometimes I get out in front of the Spirit. How many of y'all have ever done that? Yeah, every day? Yeah, so we can repent and say, okay, I want to do it every other day. Then every third day, then once a week, then once every 2 weeks, then once a month. What's happening there? Getting better. That's what repentance does. Well, Zacchaeus realized he was empty. He was a wealthy guy. Look what he said. It fits our culture. Zacchaeus says this. A man was there. A man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He worked for the government. How many of y'all found you could make pretty good money working for the government? Probably in IRS you can make pretty good money working for the government. Zacchaeus was IRS with a kicker to it. It was a really cool thing because if you didn't give Zacchaeus the money he wanted, he could have you killed. Usually people paid on time. You didn't mess with the Romans. See, this is hard for us to understand. Back in Zacchaeus' culture, you didn't have all these human rights groups. You didn't have all these protests. You didn't have stuff. It was under an oppressive rule. You did what the Romans said or they eliminated your existence. Nothing said. See, we can't understand that in our culture, can we? Lord have mercy, we got rights for everything. You know, we got people protesting that they should be able to take up 2 seats on an airplane. And somebody's violating their rights because they take up 4 rows. See what I'm saying? We always got some issue in America. But here, this is Roman culture. Zacchaeus was working for the oppressor. How many of y'all have ever worked for the oppressor for your own gain? Not as far off as you think. How many of y'all have worked for companies you knew they were messing over people, but you were making pretty good money and you just kind of turned your head to it? You don't have to raise your hand, but... Zacchaeus in this situation. He's in this situation. I worked for a group one time, man, and you know they were always talking about how they didn't have any money, and I went to go play golf with some of their executives, and everybody drove up in a brand new Jag. They were supposed to be helping people. And I thought, you know, if you just went down to a BMW and just traded in the Jag BMW difference, you'd have enough money to run your company, huh? Zacchaeus realized somewhere, if life is always about you, somewhere it runs empty. Any of y'all had that encounter yet? How many of y'all have made it all about you? How is it? What happens after a while? Huh? How many of y'all ever just kind of gotten boring because it was all about you? And everybody else really doesn't care about you. And so when you make it all about you, it's really hard to have relationships. Have you noticed that? Have you noticed when you talk to people in America, do they care what you got to say? What do they want to do? They want to talk about themselves. I mean, it's not really hard to strike up a conversation. You just go, tell me about yourself. Zacchaeus, I want you to see the real problem here, man. He was self-absorbed. He was totally about what he was about. But all of a sudden, something brand new came into his path. Jesus. Jesus was passing through. Zacchaeus said, I want to see Jesus. I mean, he ought to be able to see Jesus. I mean, he's a wealthy guy. And when you're wealthy, you can pretty well see what you want to see, yeah? Zacchaeus said, "Help buy me some tickets, and they'll be good seats." He couldn't see who Jesus was because of the crowd, and they were coming down the road, and he was a short guy, and he couldn't see him because of the crowd. Now, I want to touch the crowd just for a second. How many of you won't repent because of the crowd? I want to show you something in this story. When you get ready to meet Jesus, the crowd won't matter. I've seen it too many times. I get confronted at pastors' conferences all the time. They say, Pastor Ayers, in the 21st century, you still call people to come to the altar. Doesn't that embarrass some of them? I said, do you think I'm going to weaken the gospel down to mere human embarrassment? I mean, we have turned into, I'm talking Barney Church. They're all trying to figure out, how do you have church with no offense? You know what I tell people? You have no church. Because repenting is kind of offensive. I don't know anybody that has fun saying, I'm sorry. Do you? That's not an enjoyable experience. It wasn't designed to be a enjoyable experience. But I want you to see the intensity of Zacchaeus. He wants to meet Jesus. How many of you all have had that attitude? I want to meet Jesus. I want Jesus to recognize I'm here. How many of y'all have gotten that attitude before? How many of y'all, when you really wanted to meet Jesus, he's always showed up? Huh? Because our attitude has a lot to do with it. I'm telling you, Zach has got some attitude here. He could have just said this, couldn't he? Well, the crowd's packed up. I'm a short guy. Can't see Jesus. It's crowded here. Can't get a parking place. It's not comfortable. I'm going to have to sit by people I don't like. Nobody likes me here either. I've taken half their money. They all know I'm a land shark. He didn't care, man. He had heard that Jesus could change life. Now, here's what I want to point to you. There's thousands of us like this. I want to tell you something that's been a lie to the church. People want to meet Jesus. And we never introduce them to him. We talk about everything. We talk about the right-wing political movement. Well, that's about as far away from Jesus' concept as a man on the moon. We talk about politics. We talk about petitioning. We talk about church organization. We talk all these words that nobody understands unless you grew up in a church. But guess who people are wanting to meet? And guess who the introducers of Jesus are? You and me, the people that follow him, we're simply just to tell people, that's him. There he is, Jesus. This is what he's doing. This is what he's about. This is what can happen. This is how life can be. That's pretty cool, isn't it? How many of y'all have just introduced somebody to Jesus today?
I bet you had. How many of y'all were loving today for a moment somewhere during the day? What did you introduce people to? What did you introduce folks to today when you were loving? Jesus, how many of y'all were kind today at lunch? It's a big. What did you do? Those people met who today? Jesus. It'll blow you away how just being kind freaks people out. You know, I wish I could tell you I had a healthy diet, but I'm a McDonald's addict. I love McDonald's. I'm not giving it up. I do not want to surrender it to a higher power. I like them. I usually go to McDonald's down here because I'm in a hurry. Well, I know all the people that work down there in McDonald's, and they're so funny because as soon as I walk in, they go, number two, two cheeseburgers, fries, a Dr. Pepper. They got me down, 405. You know what I'm saying? You know what? And this is what blows them away. I said, how are you guys doing today? They go, what do you mean? I said, we just finished the rush hour. Everybody survive? One lady asked me, she's a cool sister. She said, Reverend, why do you care how I'm doing today? I said, because I got Jesus that loves you. She goes, That's all I said. I didn't whip out a Bible and, you know, theologically show her where she could have eternal life. I think we need to be little spotlights of eternal life going on. What do you think? You know? It's kind of like you have befriended a new person into this city and you have shown them Jesus by being kind. All right? Now watch. The crowd wasn't into Jesus. They were just kind of seeing what he was up to. Zacchaeus is really into meeting this guy. How many of y'all kind of come to church, but you're not really into it? I love this one all the time. People go, well, they get in trouble, and they go, well, I go to church. Well, whoopity-do. I mean, so's the devil. You know, that's not impressive to me. I go to church. Let me tell you what, there's a lot of people that go to church that don't know who Jesus is. Yeah? Do I really know who Jesus is? Have I received his activity in my life? Yeah? Zacchaeus wants to know Jesus. Look what he does. He climbs up in a sycamore fig tree. Now, let me ask you a question. So he ran ahead. So he's got to run a little bit. And he climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. Do you reckon Zacchaeus wanted to meet Jesus? Here's what I'm telling you. If you're willing to repent, Jesus is always willing to forgive. Isn't that great? See, this is what fires me up, and I'm sorry, I don't mean to go psycho pastor on you, but think about this a minute. In this room, if we were to all release the power and potential of Jesus Christ in our lives, what would hit this city? Now, there's a few people at Hillview over the years that have gotten this attitude. I like Zacchaeus' attitude here. I'm going to do what it takes to line up with Jesus, to get in his path. Hillview, I got to compliment you guys. Man, y'all do a lot of things. We do some crazy things, don't we? We've got two great compliments of this church. I was talking to a brother that just moved into town, and they came here and visited, and he said, man, I was warned about this church all over the place. I said, really? I said, what's the new rumors? They said, man, this is a church full of sinful people. Praise God. We're in a good lineup. And I always ask people, I said, would you please show me the church in Bowling Green where all the people that gather there are no longer sinners? I haven't been to that one yet, and I've lived here all my life. Is it on Cemetery Road? Okay, good. Great. Good. You all need to leave here and go there. I don't know where it is. I didn't grow up in one, but I've grown up with grace in Jesus. Isn't it glad to know that Jesus welcomes us? Zacchaeus gets up in this tree. Gets up in this tree looking for Jesus. Now here's the cool thing. Jesus found you way before you started looking. Watch this. 2,000 years ago, Jesus stretched out his arms and he died on a cross and he found you in that moment. You weren't even a twinkle in your daddy's eye yet and God found you. How many of y'all are glad to have a God that knew you before you knew you? Amen. And here's what he's waiting for you to do, to realize who you are in him. And then there's these magnificent explosions of life that'll go off. Zacchaeus up in a tree. I just think it's hilarious. You got this rich dude hiked up in a tree. How many rich people you see climbing trees? Now, note something here. The attitude of repentance for Zacchaeus started at his very search for Jesus. Have you been around extremely wealthy people? I'm not knocking wealthy people. I'm all for it as long as they're in Jesus. But watch. What do wealthy people usually do? Do they go get stuff or do they have stuff brought to them? Well, absolutely. Zacchaeus could have paid somebody to go get Jesus and bring him over. But think about it. Wealthy people, I mean, they have like servants. Yeah? It's okay. I've been a servant to wealthy people. That doesn't bother me a bit as long as they tip well. What I can't stand is when you get somebody full of wealth and you work hard for them and they give you like $3. Yeah, sometimes that's real good. Now, I'm not talking in fast food service. I'm talking you worked all day on their farm and they go, "Here you go, sonny boy. We've only put up 1,500 bales of hay." You know, they're sitting in a $3 million home and they're going to bless you. Yeah, that's fine. I'll walk by their pup tent in heaven one day too. They got theirs while they were here. Amen. By the way, though, I'd rather be in a pup tent in heaven than a mansion in hell. Amen. I'll camp out. All right. Watch. Yeah. Look at here. Zacchaeus is blown away. Zacchaeus, he's up in a tree. Jesus stops on a tree and says, "Zacchaeus, can't you hear Jesus?" I think Jesus is kind of laughing. "Zacchaeus, you up in a tree, brother. You up in a sycamore tree. You don't even know that symbolizes repentance." And guess what he said? "Zacchaeus, come down from the tree." Guess what Zacchaeus did? He came down. You know why he did that so quickly? He had never been to church. See, I love all our new believers at Hillview. They're just so cool. They read the Bible and just do it. They'd be new believers in Christ. And I remember they'll come in and they'll go, "Hey, here's my money, man. It said 10%. I can figure that out." I said, "Hey, man, it's not hard math, is it?" He said, "Why do you think God said 10? I said, "So people like me and you could figure it out." I mean, if he'd have gone 3.5, that'd have messed people like me up. See, we can figure out 10 cents out of a dollar. Boom, no big deal. God got that one down. That works. They just do stuff. Said, "Love your neighbor." They just go love your neighbor. Says, "Go feed people that are hungry." Guess what? New believers just go give people that are hungry. Now, church people go, "Well, now, is it a tenth of my net or my gross?" Because they don't have Zacchaeus' heart yet. They're not up in a tree really wanting to see everything Jesus can be. Yeah? Or they go, "Well, now, are we supposed to love those kind of people? They drink a lot of beer. I have a 2-beer limit on loving kind of people. If there are 2-beer people, I can love them. If there are 6, they're out of here. They're a drunk." Isn't it funny how we do things like that? Huh? Look at the values we put on people. What's this? How many of y'all have noticed that the abuse of alcohol changes with social status? You know, if you make over $100,000 a year, you have a drinking issue. If you're kind of in that middle income range, then you're alcoholic. And if you're making $15,000 a year, you're just a daggum drunk. So have you noticed that? But when you go to rehab, everybody has the same issue. Have you noticed that? Because sin could care less how much you make. It's on a mission to kill, steal, destroy. Zacchaeus had gotten tired of this. He said, "Zacchaeus, come on down." And guess what Zacchaeus did? He just welcomed him gladly. They went to Zacchaeus' house. Now note, there's a little crowd disturbance here. All the people, when they saw this, they began to mutter. And they said, "He's gone to be the guest of a sinner." You want to get people muttering, just welcome sinners. Whew. I've had 16 years of it. Then I got some real good muttering friends. I love them. I remember I was pastor here for 3 years, and I was at Old Charlie's, and I was dining with some people, and they had like high-powered grape juice at the table. And I had this beautiful sister from a church that I'd grown up in, and she loves the Lord, and she came home and she said, "Brother Steve Ayers, I cannot believe you're sitting at this table. with that kind of stuff at the table. I said, what, butter? She said, you know what I'm talking about. There's people at this table drinking wine, and you're sitting here. And I said, well, I want to thank you for recognizing Jesus in me tonight. Because they accused him of sitting at the table. They said he was a wine bibber. Now, I wasn't bibbing. I was just sitting. But you know what? She said, I can't believe you think like this. And I said, well, I want to tell you what you need to do. You need to go read the whole Bible and just quit reading those little focus passages that are in your Sunday school quarterly, because they're kind of like Paul Harvey. They always leave out the rest of the story. My theology improved when I quit looking at the focal passages and started looking at the whole book. Jesus will eat with sinners. They said so. His adversaries said so. Now, I think the warning for us that is that of those of us that follow Jesus, let's be careful with the muttering, okay? There's just some things that are none of our business. Jesus is going to save who he's going to save, and he wants to save everybody. So why do you get so upset if somebody who's real crazy gets saved? Why isn't it praise God? I love it when people who've been living a crazy life come and live a holy life. Praise God. And guess what? I thank God that I stayed out of a lot of the crazy life. Amen? Guess what they said? Oh! I can hear them, can't you? Oh! These people went to church with me. All the people, they saw this and began to mutter, he's gone to be the guest of a sinner. How do you tell God what to do? This is just a great thing. Jesus doesn't care what the people say. He cares what the Father says. And the Father says, Zacchaeus is a worthy soul. Messed up, but worthy. How many of y'all have ever been messed up, but worthy? So if you're a little messed up tonight, I want you to hear from this scripture, worthy. Guess what it's time to do? Get up in a tree. Say, God, here I am. God, I want what you already want to give me. God, I want to be blessed in the way you want to bless me. God, I want to be saved like you want to save me. God, I want to live forever with you. You reckon God would go, nah? Or do you think he'll say, come on? I don't know what he said to Zacchaeus at dinner. I don't know. But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, Lord, look, here and now I give half my possessions to the poor. That's a conversion. That's a conversion. What was Zacchaeus hooked on? Money. What did Zacchaeus just let go of? Why? He found that Jesus was better than what he was hanging on to. How many of y'all have come that far along? You can let go of what you used to hang on to. How many of y'all kind of do it like this? You remember when you were a kid and you used to skip every other monkey bar there in the middle, you know, see if you could get every other one? How many of y'all kind of like to hang on to the things of Jesus, but then kind of keep a couple fingers back here on this one back here? Why? How many of y'all keep doing stupid stuff and you're old enough now to know it doesn't work? I mean, you already know it doesn't work. I mean, you've become an expert that it does not work. Yeah. Huh? See, I know that I can't eat that vanilla ice cream with Snickers all around the side at 12 o'clock midnight and it not have a physical effect. I mentally know that. I consciously know that. And I intellectually know that. But at a quarter to 12, it starts speaking from the refrigerator. It says, come and have me. And I go, I hearken the call now. And then for too long I'm going, why do these suit pants not fit again? Huh? Yeah? We all have things, don't we? A lot of things. And guess what? Repentance is letting go of what you used to think brought life and believing that Jesus will bring life. That's faith. Zacchaeus had faith, and he said, oh, and by the way, if I've cheated anybody out of anything, yeah, right, I will pay back four times the amount. I will cover the interest. What's Zacchaeus saying there? Jesus, since I've met you, I'm going to take my life, and it's going to restore things instead of destroy things. Cool? That's a Hillview story. How many of y'all used to destroy things, and now you are restoring things? Isn't that cool? You're restoring things. It says in the Old Testament, the First Testament, it says that God will restore the years the locusts have what? Eaten. And He will. That's what I love about this church. I could take Polaroids of some of you. I wish I had them when you first came to this church. And if I showed them to you today, you don't even look physically like you did when you walked in here. That's what grace will do to you. It's a total body makeover. Spirit, soul, and body. Everything you're about. And you know what Jesus said to Zacchaeus? He said, Zacchaeus, you got it. Today salvation has come to this house because this man too is a son of Abraham. Wow. So let me give you a review, and we're going to have a chance to do what? Guess what we can do tonight? Repent? How many of y'all would like to repent tonight? Let's have a repentance party at the altar. What do you think? Y'all don't look very excited about a repentance party. Now, if we were having a praise party, everybody would be going, oh, yeah, let's get our hands up and get our groove on. You know why we all like to praise? Doesn't cost you anything. Repentance costs you everything. Praise recognizes that God is there. Repentance puts the God that is there into action in your life. Just my hunch. We're real short on repentance in the American church. We all like to just hear how good God is and how good we can be. And that's the truth. But you know what? We better understand how to get there. Well, what does repentance do? First step is this. I've sinned and I need God. Cool? I've sinned and I need God. How many of y'all have sinned and I need God? Now, I got a great name. He has a personal name. Jesus. And I like Jesus. Here's why I like Jesus. Here's why I don't do other gods. Jesus is a human 100% and a God 100%. How do I explain that? He's like human 100% and God 100%. And since He's God, He can do that. Cool? Guess what I am? Full of God in flesh. Because Jesus has entered into my human experience. And what I love about Jesus, He knows how to be human. He's so human. He laughed. He cried. He got mad. How many of y'all that got a Barney Jesus have never read the scriptures where Jesus got mad? He called His disciples dumb. He says, why are you so dull? You know what that means? Why are you such a dummy? Jesus has said that to me before. Ayers, when are you going to get it? That's a good question, Lord. How many of y'all got a relationship where you can talk to God like that? And repentance works like this. God, I am sorry. I have done the same stupid thing that I ask you to forgive me for 400,000 times. But guess what? I'm not going to give up until you and I get it better. Here's what Satan wants to do. How many of y'all have an habitual sin in your life? It just bugs you all the time. Anybody got those? Thornies. Yeah. You know, you'll do good with it for 4 or 5 weeks. Okay, I'll stay with it. And then, boom, something will hit you again. Then you're back repenting again. You get in this cycle. You know what the devil wants you to do? Guess what he wants you to do? Give up. But you have the power to stay in. That's called steadfastness. It's a big word in King James. It means don't give up. And so, guess what? The Lord's calling some of us out of our tree tonight. Yeah? Now, let me give you this real quick and we're out of here. Note how it works. First, you got to receive Jesus. Everybody understand that? How many of y'all have done that? I mean, you know Jesus Christ in your life. No doubt about it. Cool. If you hadn't done that tonight, I'm going to give you an opportunity to do that because one of our deepest desires tonight is you do not go to hell. Are y'all okay with that? Is that plain enough? I know that scares some people, and I don't want you to be scared because guess what? I don't want you to go to hell. Why do I not want you to go to hell? Because Jesus doesn't want you to go to hell. I think this is a pretty good deal. We have a no hell God. And then what scares me is I'm in Kentucky. Lord have mercy. Have we not polluted the gospel? I guarantee you, every one of you, deep down inside you, at one time or another, have believed that you're going to go to heaven because you're a good person. Because that's what they preach to us. Don't smoke, drink, chew, and do, and you'll end up in heaven. It's going to be bad. It's not what God designed. God said, I love you so much, I want to forgive you of your sin. When we ask Christ into our lives, guess what? Our spirit is changed from death to life. When we come to life, we get a new nature. Now we're alive. There's our new nature. Now our little brains up here can start rethinking some things. How many of y'all glad you can rethink? How many of y'all glad we got this power in humanity? We can mess up, rethink the situation, and not have to do it again. Anybody ever done that before? How many ever done this one? Anybody grow up on a farm? Have I been around farming? Okay. Shane, you'll be great for this. I guarantee you did this when you were a kid. You've been around electric fence? When you were about 4 or 5 years old? What did they tell you about the electric fence? What? No, that's... you know, I may have not should have used Shane on this one. That's another possibility. Let's not go quite that painful, Shane, all right? Before that, they told you what? Not to touch it. Did you touch it? What did it do? Did you touch it again? You probably did, yeah, right? How many of y'all touched it? How did you touch it? Stick? You know what I did? I got a piece of that, you know, the hay, you know, that grows along. What's it called? Johnson grass. Well, I pulled me some Johnson grass because this is the way we do. God says, man, don't touch that. That's going to tear your life up. So we go get a piece of Johnson grass. Say, okay. See, we start reckoning. We go, okay, I'm not touching it with my hand. I'm going to touch it with something else. I touched the Johnson grass, and I was like, well, it didn't do anything. It wasn't wet. I was like, so that fence ain't nothing. See what I'm saying? Now, here's what repentance. Guess what? I didn't touch the fence after that. I was like, man, I don't like that. Huh? But we do stupid stuff like this. We all do it. It's not some of us do it. We all do it. How many of y'all got some prejudice that you hold to and you know it's not true? I mean, we make statements. Man, God busted me. I don't like going to airports in the first place, and I don't like going to airports with all these regulations, although I know we got to have them because who would dream of trying to blow up an airplane taking your water bottle with, you know, blow-up stuff in it? I don't think like this. I want to get on the plane and go to the place I'm going. I don't want to think about blowing up. Well, because of this, I got a little angry because I know who blows up planes. Mideastern people. That's who blows up planes. I mean, I'm trying to make a logical thing. And so I'm starting to get a little edge. Well, guess what God does to me? I go lead this camp in North Carolina. And guess who God puts by my side as the teacher? Let me help you. Pastor Afshin. He goes, are you Dr. Ayers? I said, I bet you're Afshin. He goes, I've not met many people from the South. I said, you going to this week? And man, you know what I love? This brother is following Jesus. And so I looked and I said, Afshin, because he looked at me, he was so funny. He'd been a Muslim that had converted to Christianity. And he was so funny. He said, you know, you would have made a great Muslim with your passion and your fervor. I said, yeah, you turn that loose, I bet I could have messed a lot of people up. Of course, I got this picture in my head of me with two little plain, you know, headphones on, ready to roll, you know. No. You know what he was saying? I told him, I said, man, we all got to be broken down to the love of God. Guess what? Afshin's one of my dear brothers in Christ. And God woke me up. Now, wait a minute, Ayers. Understand the plain thing. But you better understand, I love all people. I don't get that sometimes. God loves Hezbollah. And that's deep. I wish I could tell you as your pastor that I had such a holy mind that I can embrace that honestly. But sometimes I'm going, God, you might need to lay off a little bit there. You know what I'm talking about? But God says, no, I love Hezbollah. And Jesus died for Hezbollah and Al-Qaeda and people that will fly planes into a building. And Jesus died for people that will figure out now how you can't take your latte on the plane with you because it might be full of explosives. They've changed their Starbucks to the Starburst. I mean, this is crazy. I don't know about y'all, but you and I live in a crazy world, yeah? But we got a sane Jesus. Don't ever forget it. And Jesus wants to touch every one of us crazy people, whether we're wealthy or not. We all need Christ. Amen. Well, let's stand together. Y'all been beautiful tonight. Give yourselves a hand for being beautiful tonight. Okay, now hold on. Watch this. Even give a bigger hand to Jesus being merciful and graceful tonight. Yeah, come on. How many of y'all can praise God that we got a God that's going to love us? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you so much. And right now, Lord, if there's anybody that needs to come to know you tonight, listen to me. You look at me. You don't have to bow your head. Look at me. God talk to you. Tell him tonight, Lord Jesus, tonight I want you in my life. I know I've sinned. I've busted it. I've blown it. Man, here's what, if you broke the Ten Commandments, you're a sinner. Okay, we're all qualified. So go ahead and get up in that tree. Because here's what Jesus wants to do. Sally, come on down. I'm going to your house. Bob, come on. Let's go to the house. And guess what Jesus is really saying through the resurrection? I want to love you and forgive you and change you so much that you're fit for heaven. Wow. I mean, that's amazing. So tonight, if you need Jesus in your life, come and let him come into your life. Maybe you just need to come tonight and say, God, you know that one thing you and I always talk about? Here it is. I'm going your way. So I just want to open this altar to a moment of repentance. God's already shown me my one thing. I confess some. Sometimes, man, I can get warlike. There's some parts of the Bible I don't like love your enemies. I wish it had said you get to hit two of them, but it doesn't say that. It says you better love all of them. You know what Jesus did? Jesus set such boundaries that we have to depend on him to accomplish them. I can love people I like. How many of y'all love people you like? See, I like y'all and love y'all because I like you. It's people I don't like, I'm going. And Jesus is going, I died for them. I said, I know. And they're one of your brothers and sisters. I know, but I didn't like some of my brothers and sisters. And Jesus says, you're going to get this, Ayers, eventually. I love you. So come tonight and repent and hear those words of Jesus. I love you. I love you, says Jesus to the world. I what? Love you. Come. We'll have an altar call. We've had a sermon on repentance. Y'all ain't going to stand there, are you? This is a chance to make it happen tonight. I mean, you can come forward and just deal with those little nagging issues. Man, this could be a great moment in your life. I don't know what time it is. I don't ever know what time it is. It's time to repent. We'll take care of the rest later on in the week. Just let God have that moment. If you need to be baptized, come on, let's get obedient to that and see what God does. If you need to ask Christ in your life, come on, let's do it. Let's get it done. Let's see God do some great things right here. Come on, are you connected to Jesus? I'll tell you what, you're without excuse tonight. Are you connected to Jesus? Let him come on.